light our candles. You can come up here. You can kind of stand around here. We're going to light this one first. Okay. Go for it. You can go for it. That'll be the last next week. Here, try again. All right, now this one. Does someone else want to try this one? Will you help her? You can help her. Here. Push that forward. There, now squeeze the button. Here, you want me to help you? Here, I'll do it and then you hold. All right. Here, help me. Here, come on. Give me your hand. You can do it. There you go. There you go. You want to do this one right here? This is our third Sunday of Advent. Keep going. We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. This is the week that traditionally represents joy. We are anticipating those days that the prophet Isaiah spoke of when he said, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing." So let us walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, girls, so much. It's good to see all of you here this morning. My name is Steve Hoden, and I gratefully serve as the pastor of Edgewater Covenant Church. And it's been, I think this Sunday is 3 months that I've been here now, about 3 months. So I'm excited to continue to celebrate this season of Advent with you all. And I got the opportunity to just sit in a chair before our service, and I kind of had, I'm not too proud to admit, I had a few little tears come to my eyes just out of gratefulness to God for bringing us here, and I really look forward to continuing to walk forward with each of you. If you take out your bulletin, you can see some of the things that are going on in the life of our church. We have, obviously, next Sunday, our Christmas Eve service. Our service is going to be at our regular time, since we have to get coverage by the school. We're going to have our normal service time, Christmas Eve. We're going to do some singing, and it'll be an all-inclusive service. Everybody, no kid zone that day. We'll have a little space in the back if, you know, we need some places for kids to release a little energy, or maybe a few adults if you need to release some energy as well. It's going to be a great time. This is a Sunday. Next Sunday will be a time where there may be a few more visitors with us. We might have some of you might have your extra family members here. I want to make everyone aware, if you see someone brand new, maybe it took a lot for them to come to church next Sunday, make that extra special effort to reach out, introduce yourself, say, "We're so glad to see you here." And this is one of the ways that we can be serving God, and it doesn't take that much effort to do. But let me tell you, the first church we ever became members of, we became members because someone welcomed us that first Sunday. And then when we came back, somebody remembered our name. That makes a huge difference. So let's take up that challenge. New Year's Eve is our final service of the year. We put an announcement in the bulletin. We are going to do another combined service. Everybody, we're going to end the year with a meal. We're going to set up the tables in here. It's going to be kind of a non-traditional service. It'll be a chance to eat a meal together as the church, kind of to reflect on the year that we have just completed and to give thanks. There will be some opportunity to share during that time. We're also going to be having cards that I'll explain at that service that you're going to fill out, and you'll get those back next December. So we'll have more about that at that service. So please bring a dish to share, and we look forward to seeing you all on New Year's Eve. One of the things that we always do is we have a connection card in our bulletin. And if you are a member, regular attender, please fill out any information that has changed. If you're a visitor with us, please fill out as much as you are comfortable. On the back side, there are options for you to check off if you want certain communication. If you want to list a prayer request that you have, we pray for those every single week. There's one additional one in there this week. And I'm just mentioning it this week, the 17th, and then we'll do it the final Sunday of the year as well. This is the time of year where we are looking for nominations for our leadership team for 2018. And one of the things that we determined was we have to get back on a regular rotation of folks. And technically, we had four people going off this year. So two of those have gratefully agreed to stay on for a term. And so what we're doing is we are looking for two nominations this year for one-year terms. So I really want you to be thinking and praying about if God is calling you to serve in this capacity for the year 2018. We also are going to be looking for a treasurer, as Deborah has done it for the last 10 years and is needing a break. So if you have any of those kinds of skills, make sure you talk to me or one of our leadership team folks. We're going to be sending out an email with more information about what our leadership team is, how you can get involved, what are some of the basic qualifications. But it's a chance for you to work with me and for me to work with you. So I look forward to those of you that are going to be a part of that. If you have any questions about that, please ask me after the service. Otherwise, you can just put names down and maybe a reason for why you think that person should be nominated. If you want to put your own name down, that's fine too. We will always accept that. I think those are all the announcements I had. Did we have anything else today? I think that's good. I want to lead us in a time of prayer, but before we do so, I want to give you just a couple of updates. One of the things that we prayed for a few weeks back is, a lot of you know Scott and Andrea and their son Noah with his heart surgery. They had an appointment on the 14th with the heart surgeon, and guess what? There was I won't even call it a small miracle, there was a miracle where the percentage of valve that was closed actually is less closed than it was before. So it bought them another 6 months. So now they don't have to have the surgery at the end of this month. They can wait until June. They are praising God for this. It is an answer to prayer. Everything said that he was going to have surgery at the end of this month. Now he gets to do it during the summertime where there's less school disruption, less life disruption. And they just wanted to share that with everyone. And we give thanks to God for that. Last week we talked about those things that we've been praying for and never to give up praying for that, and here was just an answer to prayer. So I just wanted to share that this morning. Let's take time now and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks. We praise you for who you are. We praise you that we can come to you and pray about anything. And when we offer our prayers to you in faith, you hear them and you respond. God, we thank you for Noah. We thank you for the way, even in the difficulties with his heart, that you have continued to lead him and his family. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful news that gives them more time. God, we don't know what the future holds, but we know that you're in control. So we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for all of the ways that you will bless us, all of the ways that you are at work in our lives. We give you thanks. From the first step out of bed this morning to our final step as we return to bed tonight, we want to be in a posture of thankfulness. God, in this season of Advent where we just can't wait to get to next week, will you help us pause and give you thanks today? We confess that we don't always follow you as closely as we should. We appeal on your mercy. We come before you. God, forgive us. Restore us back to you. You are the generous giver of all good gifts. We thank you for that. God, we thank you for those people that you have brought into our lives. And we ask on behalf for them now, for those who are feeling sick this morning or under the weather, we ask for your strength. Will you heal the sick? Will you bind up the brokenhearted? Will you comfort those in need? God, I pray for this group of people that you've gathered here this morning. Will you open our eyes to see you? To see the ways that you are working in this world, to see those people that you bring into our path, help us to be your light in this dark world, we pray. God, for all of this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 week closer to Christmas, and the anticipation is growing, and I came in this morning, and I had this wonderful gift that was awaiting me. And do you know what it was? Look at those. And I can almost barely contain myself. These are my favorite. So thank you, Alana, for that. And these are the types of things that perhaps help you kind of get into the Christmas mood. Maybe you have a Christmas story that stands out for you, or a Christmas movie like Elf, or for instance, mine is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I always like that, and I get to pull out every Christmas my little moose mugs that for eggnog, and I don't even like eggnog, but I just like the moose mugs, all those things that get us into the mood. Maybe you enjoy decoration, maybe it's cookies, maybe it's wearing that hat or clothing, or maybe it's something else. I love preparing for Christmas, especially by looking at the Gospel of Luke. Because in the Gospel of Luke, we have this story of the greatest gift. And today we continue our Advent preparation, preparing for Christmas with this continuation of the story. There's no trees in this story, no wrapping paper, no movies, nothing. Only the excitement of anticipation as God does a new thing in the world. This is a story about gifts, not gifts of cookies, but about the gift. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Luke 1. We're going to continue our story. And this is all about God's gift of redemption. We all love a good redemption story. Those stories where perhaps someone in your life, or maybe you yourself, kind of turned it around through the help of God. Last week we looked at the very beginning of Luke, and we looked at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah had this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It was like once in a 40-year career, the chance to go into the temple and offer this special offering. And what happens while he's inside the temple is he has an experience of Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, who tells him this great news that they're going to give birth to a little boy. His name is John, or that's what his name will be. We know him as John the Baptist. And Zechariah goes, "Who, me? I'm an old guy." God answers the prayers of this couple. They had been praying their whole life, and their son will be a great prophet. He will turn the hearts of many people back to God, and he will prepare the way for the Messiah. But Zechariah does not trust what he's hearing. Let me reread a couple of verses, verses 20 through 25. The angel says to him, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you didn't believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. She responds a little bit differently. She says, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Because of Zechariah's lack of trust, he is punished. He receives a temporary judgment. His mouth is closed up. He cannot speak. And until that baby is born, he will not speak. Can you imagine having to communicate for 9 months with no words if you're used to words? Sometimes I think this is probably when the biblical game of charades was invented. He's trying to communicate what's going on and using gestures and probably not doing a very good job at first. And now finally their son is born. Let me read towards the end of chapter 1, verses 57 through 60. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Family and friends were there for the event. This was kind of a must-see event in their town. Actually, every time a child was circumcised, they were given their official name at that point. This was a big ritual, you know, as part of being a good Jewish person, following all of the customs and rituals. But it was a time to gather and celebrate being incorporated into God's people as a new little baby. They all think he's going to be named after his father. And when Mary says his name is going to be John, they don't even believe her. I mean, when Elizabeth says his name is going to be John, they don't believe him. So he pulls out his trusty little whiteboard. You have no idea how long I searched to find a dry erase marker yesterday. He pulls out his little board. They want to hear from him. And he writes four little words. It would have been better if they had just trusted Elizabeth. He writes this: "His name is John." Verse 61 says this: "They said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who has that name.' They made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, 'His name is John.'" And for someone who didn't believe the angel when he was in the temple, the news that he had received, this is his moment of redemption. Four little words. But it took a little bit more than what he had imagined. It took more time to be restored back to God. This is when he gets an unexpected gift. See, he doesn't know if he'll ever speak again at this moment. He just knows that he has to trust God, that God has spoken to him and his wife. The very fact that they're pregnant is a miracle at their age. And now he shows his trust publicly before everybody. It didn't take a whole long spiel, just four little words. And God redeems him for his earlier mistake. Judgment for his sin is instantly reversed. Let me read 64, verse 64. Immediately, I love that word in the Bible. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Praising God. When you receive God's gift of redemption, whether that's the total redemption of salvation through Jesus Christ, or whether it's those moments where you come back to him, immediately you are restored back to him. Redemption restores you immediately. We don't always believe that. Sometimes we think that we have to continue to earn it. We have to continue to do more, be more, serve more, love more. And yeah, all that stuff is good, but it's never the first thing that we do. The first thing we do is we receive what God offers to us. He offers this amazing gift, redemption. I'm going to put this over here. In this case, Zechariah was free to speak again. He was free to say whatever was on his mind, whatever was pent up in him for those 9+ months of waiting to say something. But since we have the rest of the story, we know that it's not just about being able to speak again. See, that was great news for him, but he also recognized what the greater news was. His moment of redemption is just an appetizer for the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas once again, You've all heard the story. Maybe most of you have heard the story. Some of you, perhaps this is brand new. But we celebrate Christmas once again, and we've spent these weeks of hopeful waiting and anticipation, and Hallmark Channel keeps running their movies and all of that stuff to get us in that mood. But it's always helpful to re-immerse ourselves in the story, to see how God is at work in the prelude to Christ's birth. Many times we want to jump right to Christmas morning. We want to open up our gifts. We want to eat our cookies right away. We can't wait. And we miss the gifts that have already been given. God's gift of redemption immediately restores you to Him. Now and always. The gift in this story is not a baby. And it's not just for these new parents. It's not just for the crowd of people. This is a gift that is available for all of us. Humanity, past, present, and future. Romans 8 says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Through Him, the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." You are free. Free. What an amazing gift to trust in God by believing in Jesus. It's the gift of freedom that changes everything. His gift sets you free, and you are free. You're released from whatever has been holding you back, whatever bonds have been keeping you stuck in the past, whatever those things are. All it takes is a sincere desire in your heart to receive this gift in faith. I'd like you to trust me for a moment here. I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a moment. Imagine God looking at you right now. Some of you might not want to feel that. He's speaking directly to you. And this is what He says to you. What would you like freedom from this day? Perhaps it's freedom from something that has had a grip on you. Perhaps it's an addiction or an unhealthy pattern or fear or anger. Maybe it's freedom from your past mistakes or decisions. Or you're at that point where you're ready to trust Christ fully. In this moment between you and God, ask Him for this gift of redemption to free you once and for all. Now breathe in, open your eyes, and receive what He offers. I like a giant breath like that. It feels good. God sees you as one who is restored to Him fully. There's nothing you've done and there's nothing you can do that can separate you from Him. He sees you with new eyes, not as you were, but as you are, clean and forgiven. You have a new lease on life, whether it's the first time or the 50th time. What happens in this story? Zechariah speaks. The news spreads. It says all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. The town gossips were doing their thing. Everyone who heard this wondered about it. And they asked, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." We read last week that the Holy Spirit was in John from before birth. And the Lord's hand was with him. What then is this child going to be? Is he the one we've been waiting for? Well, we know. No, he's not the one you've been waiting for. He's the one that's announcing the one you've been waiting for. Oh, you mean we got to wait? Oh. For Zechariah, in this moment, he can't help but respond back to God. You see, receiving this kind of gift releases you to respond to God. Let me read verse 67 for us. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. See, those four little words that he wrote on that tablet, his name is John, weren't just his moment of redemption, but they were this releasing or freeing him to really do what God was calling him to do, to praise, to prophesy, to do what God called him to do in that moment. He couldn't help but be thankful. He couldn't help but be grateful. He responds. As we read these next verses, I want you to receive them this morning as a spirit-filled gift to you in this season as we wait for the birth of the Savior. Let me read 68 through 73. If you have a Bible, this is often written out as a song. So I kind of put it in, I did some indenting just to kind of give us the sense that this is a song of praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And I'll stop there. The question I asked just a minute ago was, what do you want to be freed from this moment? What do you want to be free from? And if you have received or you're ready to receive what God offers you, then now your question is, who has God freed you to be and do in your life? Who has God freed you to be? As Diane reminds me sometimes, we are human beings, not human doings. We're first human beings. What has God freed you to be? See, it's not just freeing you from the things that have got you shackled, those things in our past that kind of just keep pulling us back, but it's also free to be and do who God calls us to be. Now, there might be many answers to this question for you, but here is at least one of those things. Let me read the next two verses, 74 and 75. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. See, when you say yes to Christ, he says you have no fear. You have nothing to fear. It might have kept you shackled before, but I free you to serve me without fear, to be who I'm calling you to be, to do what you think you can't, to connect with those whom you had trouble connecting with before, to go where you're afraid to go, to be more than you thought possible. Imagine your heart and your head and your hands all finally working together. I know, that's exactly how I respond sometimes. Man, that'll be the day when I'm actually like in sync. And yeah, it's a process and it takes us time and we do the best that we can. And that's why I love you all. We do this together. Christ's hands and feet and heart in this world, his body. Zechariah's newborn baby is a gift. Those of you that have experienced that blessing know that it is a gift. But that baby also has a purpose. And Zechariah understands the purpose of God granting them this baby. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." It's a pretty high calling for this baby. And if you're a parent and you got that word from the Lord that that's what your baby was called to be, you'd be like, "Man, I sure hope they're better than me." It's a high calling indeed. And after 400 some years, God decided to act in this way, at this moment in history, with this couple, preparing the way for his son, Jesus. Why? Why would he wait for this moment? I think this is at least partly why. Verse 78. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." If you are in need of the tender mercy of God today, if you desire to live in light and not in darkness, for all who are in the shadow of death and for all who desire to experience the path of peace, the Lord God is waiting to give you everything. He spends himself, and he did so through Jesus Christ for your sake, to release you from your chains, to free you, to serve him boldly without fear. My friends, to experience new life filled with hope and joy and peace. And our Lord knows we could use some more of that in this world. I hope that you draw strength this week. Amidst troubling times and uncertainties and crazy news stories all the time, remember that when that first Christmas morning came, the dawn revealed that God had broken through the darkness of the world to shine light into it for everyone. It's a light that still shines brightly today, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Yeah, you got it. So what are you waiting for? Don't miss out on the gifts of God that are already before you. One of those gifts this morning is this body. And one of the reasons I'm saying less today is I want us to have a few extra minutes at the end of our service to spend some time together. So if you're tempted to rush right out of here, we're ending early in a few minutes, okay? So that you have that time to spend time. Recognize the people around you are a gift from God. Let them bless you and be a blessing to them. Reach out for what God offers you, whether it's your first or 50th time, as I said before. May God bless you this week. May he strengthen your faith and renew your hope and give you peace as we wait upon the Lord now and forever. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for this group of folks, people from a variety of backgrounds, perhaps a variety of faith traditions, perhaps no faith tradition. And yet, by the power of your Spirit, you have drawn us together to be your body here on earth. God, I pray that as we approach Christmas morning, as we approach the end of this year, that we would take that time to see what's around us, to see those gifts around us, to reflect on this year, and may it propel us into the year to come. God, thank you. We praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And now will you receive the blessing? May God bless you as you go about your week. May he give you all good gifts. May he prompt in you a desire to love and serve him in freedom. Go now in peace. Amen.